Zion Davis, 25th of December, Diane David Cohn, the Brocha on Chocolate Biscuits. This week's Torah has been sponsored by the Nishmas Harav Ishaya Ben Rav Moshe.
You see, I'm not the only one who is struggling for time to get here. Let's make a start. I think the morning's theme is going to be on the brocha on chocolate. I don't want to steal the thunder from the shir that's going to be afterwards. Rabbi Greenberg's son is going to give the shir afterwards on the brocha on Shabbat, on chocolate. I'll just give you a little clue as to what it is, and then I want to move on to an exhibit like this or like this that were given out in Ovis Sabonim, and I'll tell you a little bit about it as we go along. What should be the broch on something like this? You'd be surprised how complex it is. We'll go into it in a moment. But first of all, on chocolate, fascinating question. And you'll see the question is really chocolate grows clearly on a tree. And it is a chocolate bean that grows on a tree. And really the question is, why isn't the broch a berei pri hoetz as opposed to Shehakol yeh bidvoroi, that I think all of us, without exception, are used to making. And therefore, this is really what you're going to see, Mietz Hashem Domari Mekoimus, and a shir on it to see why the brocha is boirei, why we make shehakol, why the minhag ha'olam is to make shehakol yeh bidvoroi. I will just start off really just by saying that in Parshas Ekev, Vato Yisrael Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimoch. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, or Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking from you? Ki im liyiro es Hashem Elokecha, to fear HaKadosh Hashem your God, lo leches b'chol derochov, to go in all his ways, ula'avo oisoi, to love him, ve'lavo yidis Hashem Elokecha b'chol avovcho v'chol nafshecho. So the Gemara darshans that Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimoch, and this is where we learn that we endeavor, and Chazal have designed our day such that we manage to make 100 brochas. I'll start off a little bit. B'milah de b'tichusa, one of the great rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael told me that when he was a young child, he didn't do very well in his exams, in his tests, and he came back and he got 45%. And his father said to him, what's this 45%? He says, you're a clever boy. Why do you get 45%? So he says, no, he says, Daddy. It says in the pasuk, V'ato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecho, Al Tikro Mo Elomeo. So that was it. So from here we learn, anyway, fascinating. Chazal, it wasn't so just a play on the words, Mo and Meo. What Chazal are trying to hook onto is that when we make brochos, when we say the right brocha, and we put our efforts into repeating Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ho'ilom, and then we thank Hashem for the precise food that we're eating in the correct way, that brings upon us, it becomes Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimoch. After that, the Yirah Shomayim, the ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes automatically, is something that comes much easier after we get used to mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and recognizing the source of everything that we have and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. That process brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the seemingly impossible becomes a natural progression as a result of us making brachas. And interestingly enough, it is one of the things, brachas, which is omed berumoy shel olam. It is something which stands at the very highest level of importance in the world. Yet it's something that we're used to mumbling brochas. I once heard from Rav Ruving Krellenstein, Zeich Tzadi Livroch, he was a Talmud of Rav Shalom Shvadron, and he said that he once heard from Rav Tzadka, the Rosh Hashiva in Porat Yosef, Zeich Tzadi Livroch, he heard from him that every brocha should be a brocha mshuleshes. Or b'ray brocha mshuleshes, say, Baruch Ato Hashem, stop. Elokeinu Melech Ho'ilom, stop. Then finish it off, shakolie, a bit of a roibrim, and imizainus, whatever bracha you make. But once you break the bracha up, then you begin to realize and to put some focus onto the brachas that's being said. Just one more word of introduction before I want to introduce this question that I told you about. It is, I saw a beautiful piece on tefillah that we've just said at the moment. We've just davened tekal b'shofar gadol l'chayruseinu, and in the bracha, just before that, we said, Baruch Oleinu es Hashana Azos, es Kol Minei Svor Salatova. We're particularly focusing on this bracha at the moment, maybe because we're within 30 days of saying the same Talamotta, and therefore we want to make sure that we know that we've said the same Talamotta and not the same bracha, so we shouldn't have repeated. But it continues, V'sabeinu mitzuvecho. There's a little bit of a machlokas of Gersois, whether we say V'sabeinu mitzuvecho or V'sabeinu mitzuvo. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'sabeinu, and satiate us, make us satisfied, mitzuvecho, from your goodness. And the Mefarshim explain and say like this, when we say, same as when a person eats something which is, when a person eats something which is kosher, so then it has a positive effect upon a person. Similarly, say the Mefarshim, that if you eat something with money that you've honestly earned, then that food goes into us and that does us good, and that helps us to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tray for food, the reason for not eating tray for food is because Hashem said so. But the Chovis HaLevavos explains and says that the reason why Hashem doesn't want us to do certain actions, and including eating certain foods, is that certain foods, when we eat them, they distance us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand why these things taste very nice, but these things distance us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, say the Mefarshim that if you eat something that where you haven't earned the money honestly for, it also has the same effect. And similarly, when we eat something, if we haven't quite made the right brocha for it, or needless to say, haven't made a brocha at all, so that's the famous Gemara in Brochas, where the Gemara asks, Hashomayim shomayim lashem, v'horitz nosan livnei adom. Yet the Gemara asks, there's a contradiction. If ha'oritz nosan livnei adom, why is there another pasuk which says, la Hashem ha'oritzim loyo? So the Gemara says, kan lifnei ha'brocha, kan achrei ha'brocha. Before we've made the brocha, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After we make the brocha, it belongs to us. It transpires then that the making the correct a brocha and the correct brocha is our way of paying HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our food, so to speak. And therefore, if the bracha isn't quite correct, or the bracha isn't there at all, then it's tantamount to stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gemara is saying. And therefore, it still remains L'Hashem Oritz Umloya. And therefore, to focus on the correct brachas is more difficult than you might think. Well, we have, when in North End and Adas, when we have Ovis Ubonin, I always ask the boys who are in charge of giving out the nash that they give at the end, to tell me what bracha rishona they're going to make on it, and what bracha achrona to make it. And when we've got it right, then, as part of the announcements after the raffle, they announce that this is what they're giving out. This is the bracha rishona. That's the bracha achrona. Sometimes it could be something which is licorice, sometimes it's got something which's got flour in. We won't get involved in that for now. But this will seem to be an innocent biscuit. It's called a mini crunch. Mini crunch, what brocha rishona and what brocha achrona would you make on it? Well, you might say the first question is, what has it got in it? So I'll read out for you. There are two of them. I think one of them is parava, one of them is milchik. And I'll read out the parava one first. It's got it in English as well. And it says like this, what it's got, the mini crunch, it's, oh, this one, even this one, the red one, is also a milchik. It says, milk chocolate bar filled with biscuits. And they've done us the tova to write on it there, 15% is biscuit. And then it's got milk-flavoured cream is 30%. And all other types of things, and makes it up to the full 100%. This one is a more of a different. It's got a white chocolate is 30%. Milk chocolate is 25%. Bar filled with biscuit, again 15%, and nut cream 30%. So you've got exactly how that adds up to 100. I'll leave that for you to work out. But it seems to work out you've got 15% biscuit inside here. Let me please ask you, what bracha do you think you should make on this bar? I'll also add and tell you, this thing weighs 20 grams. 20 grams is its weight. What its specific gravity is, we'll have to work out another time. But what bracha do you think you should make on this? Sorry? It's like this. 20 grams is definitely a kazayis. So the kazayis is, yes, a kazayis. You can safely have a kazayis as being about 16 and two-thirds. The Rambam says the kabetz is 50 cc's, so you can have something like 16, certainly time you get to 20 cc's as a volume, you can certainly have 20 grams, and this, I think the specific gravity of this is less than one, so in which case you've probably got about 25, the volume, you can imagine the volume of this is probably 25, you've safely got a kazayis here. But what bracha rishona would you make on this? It's got 15% biscuit, and 85% chocolate and other things. What bracha would you say? Sorry? You say she'akol. Mezonos. So we've already got a machlokas here. She'akol and mezonos. Sorry? On the wrapper, you don't make any bracha. Sorry? What do you want to eat? Third opinion. It depends. Two people sitting next to each other can actually make two separate brachas. Is that right? I think that one we can exclude, because I think over here we're going to go Bosa Roiv Das B'nei Odom. I think so. The question is really what this is, 15% this is, and the answer, yeah, what do you think? Well, we'll come to Bracha Achrona in a moment, but the Bracha Rishona, the question is what Bracha Rishona on this. Let me tell you, in Lefiani Yisdaiti, the correct bracha rishona on this, literally, I think you need to make two brachas. I'll tell you why. When you take a biscuit, there's two questions. There's first a din. There's a din mentioned in the Gemara in Brachas that kol sheyesh bo mechameshes haminim, anything that's got din of Rav and Shmuel, anything that's got chameshes haminim in it. So the din is that you make borei mine mezonos. And the chiddush of that, the Gemara explains, and the Rishonim explain far but even more, that the chiddush of that is, normally you go bosor roiv. You follow the majority content. So if the majority content, if you have a mixture of something, it's borei pri adoma and she'akol, you'd say, which one is the majority? If they're completely mixed, uniformly mixed, you'd say, whatever is the roiv, that claims the brocha, and you only make one brocha. When it comes to chameshes mine dogon, because of its chashivus, whether it is wheat, barley, oats, rye, or spelt, because these are chameshes mine dogon, therefore the din is that they claim the brocha. That kol sheyesh bo mechameshes mine dogon, as long as it's there for taste, which is what the Rishonim explain, as long as it's there for taste, and not just for binding, as the Gemara continues to say, that if it's only there for binding, then that doesn't claim the bracha. So if you have a little bit of matzah meal in the gefilte fish, in order all the meatballs to make it stick, so then the din is that the bracha is, then it's she'akol. But if you put something in order that it should for taste, then the bracha is going to be borei mine mezonos, even if it's only a 10% content, something which is there for taste, you're going to make it's going to claim the bracha. So, for example, amazingly, did you know that a sponge cake, a honey cake, has only got 30% flour in? Only 30% flour in. Nonetheless, since the flour is clearly there for taste, makes the cake, that's what you want to eat, therefore the din is, you make mezonos on it. So here, this definitely, this crunch in the middle, taste it, if you will. You're very welcome. You find that definitely it's been put there for taste. It hasn't just been put there for body. So therefore, mezonos is definitely a bracha that needs to be made. However, if I take a biscuit and I spread some chocolate spread over it, there's no question about it or that the chocolate spread is a tofel. But here, when I've got only 15%, And if you take this thing to pieces, you'll see that the vast majority of this is chocolate. And you've only got a thin wafer in the middle, which is there for, I don't know, probably for the crunch experience and for the taste enjoyment of having it inside. Ask the manufacturers what they're up to. But that's what it is. So therefore, the main frame, a very, very thick piece, is chocolate. If you have a cheesecake, for example, with a very thin base, and then you put a thick layer of cheese and filling on top of it, then you can't say that the cheese filling is a toffle to the biscuit underneath. It isn't. It is something in its own right. And therefore the din is, in such a case, that the brocha would be, in such a case, you cannot say that the chocolate or the cheesecake filling is a toffle to it, and therefore it's got its own brocha, unless it's all baked together. So if you make a cake and you have a cheese filling, and you put it in the oven like that, even though there's a thin filling, but it's all baked as one piece, then you say, kol sheyesh bo mechameshes mini dogon. But if you don't, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Samaches, as a Dovah Poshuti mentions it, and Kuf Samaches Sifkotten Mem Hei, he says the following. He talks about the Shulchan Aruch there, is talking in Sif Ches, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about Aval Oysom Rekikim, the thin wafers, Dakim, Shenoistim Mirkachas Aleim, you put something tasty on top of them, Heim Tfeilim Legabe HaMirkachas, they become a subsidiary to the mirkachas, the wafers, thin wafers become a subsidiary to what you want on top. And that's the famous thing, if you have an aikichaluch, that you're just having to have, to be having it only to have the schmaltz herring on top, you then, if the aikichaluch tastes of nothing, you only make the brocha of the herring on top of it. Yeah, that's what he says, Petrosom. Along says the Mishnah Berurah there at the end, and he says, Uposhet Dedavka Shebe'es Afil Nefin Beyachad, only if they're baked together is it one brocha. Avalim Ofo Haduv Shanim Levad, if you bake the base on its own, v'chakach meniach aleh milamalo hamirkachas, then you pile on top of it. You could have a fruit flan, would be the same. They're saying you have a cake base, but with a thick fruit filling on top as a fruit flan. Einasim hamirkachas tfeilo lohem, then the base does not become a toffel to the flan, to the fruits, even though the ikka, the main thing, may be the fruits, he says. Shekavonosu lechol shneem, because you want to eat both. So here, ve'eina mirkachas boin lelafis adufshin, it doesn't come, v'tzorch levorich gamal amirkachas, you similarly have to make a brocha on both. So therefore, if you're having a tasteless wafer, or a tasteless ice cream cone, and the purpose you're having it is just to be able to contain the ice cream, one brocha, even though the cone is made out of flour, one brocha you make shakoil on the ice cream, and the wafers are toffled to it. However, if the base tastes nice, and you also want to eat the base, then it depends whether the base was baked together with the filling. If it was baked with the filling, one brocha mazonus. But if it wasn't baked with the filling, it's two brochas. Similarly, over here, the same thing. This wasn't baked together. Yes, if you bake chocolate, you've been in a right mess. So therefore, this is a mazonus base, or mazonus middle, that you want to eat. It's not just there to support the chocolate. It's put there to enhance the taste. And therefore, in such a case, you're going to actually make two brochas. Shehakol you'll make first, because you can't get to the biscuit beforehand. And then afterwards, you'll make mazonus on this, in order to be able to cover what's inside. Once upon a time, going back many years, those who are older will remember, used to have sugared almonds with a very thick, very, very thick, not nowadays sugared almonds, where the broch is clearly hoits with a thin coating of sugar, but there used to be a sweet that was a sweet, basically, with an almond inside. And then there was the question, because you're really eating it for the sweet, and then afterwards, nothing is toffled to the other. In that case, Dein Kraus Schlitz at the time said, two brochas for exactly this reason, that neither is a toffle to the other, and they're not baked together, and therefore they remain two separate entities, and therefore the brocha rishena, you're going to have, incredibly, but you're going to have a situation here where, because the chocolate is so thick, and the wafer is so thin inside, that clearly the chocolate doesn't become a toffle to the wafer, and the wafer itself is not there to be a toffle to the chocolate, it's there to enhance the taste, and therefore, since it's not baked together, you're going to land up with two brothas. You save shakel first, take a shallow bite, and then you go on to the biscuit. If you want to, you can break it in half, pull out a bit of biscuit, make mazonas first, but I don't think you're mechuyev to when you haven't got to them, you haven't got to them yet. So this is a simple thing that we're giving out to our children at Ovos Sabonim, and no one knows what bracha to make on this. I'm going to just go come to, I'll take questions in a moment, but let's just first go on to the bracha achroino, if I may. The bracha, what about a bracha achroino on this? In case you think you've finished, you've now got to, and if you have, you certainly need a bracha achroino, but then you want to know what you're going to make. What bracha achroino would you make on this? Sorry? Why are you going to make bona fides? So how much have you got? So the question is, how much broch, what broch are you going to make on this? The broch achreino. So one suggestion here is that you haven't got a kazayis of mazonos. A very good starting point. You haven't got a kazayis of mazonos, although you've got a kazayis all in all, but you haven't got a kazayis of mazonos, and therefore you shouldn't make a boreim, you shouldn't make an alamichyo, you should make a bona fides only because you've got a kazayis of chocolate. You've still got a kazayis of chocolate. Take off the 15%. You probably still get there. You've probably be left with about 20 cc's of the resultant chocolate. And therefore, you're going to make a bona fides is the suggestion. It's not so simple, you know, because in Simon Reish Ches, Siftes, so Shulchan Aruch says the following. Shulchan Aruch says that what happens if you have a mixture? Irev kemach, says Reish Simon Reish Ches Siftes, Irev kemach doichan, if you mixed millet flour, b'shor mine kitnias, or other flour of other podded grains, im kemach shel chameshes mine dogom, with flour of wheat, oats, rye, or spelt, in that of barley, ubishloi bekadera, or you cooked it in a dish, mevorich boire mine mezonis v'alamichyo. When is that? V'dafka, says Shulchan Aruch, sheyesh boise kemach mechameshes mine dogom, kedei sheyoichal mimenu kezayis dogom b'chdechilas pras. The mixture, even though you haven't eaten a kazayis of dogon, you haven't got, because you've got a mixture. You've only had a kazayis of the mixture. Shulchan Aruch says, you still make an alamichyo as long as there is a kazayis bichdei achilas pras. How much is a kazayis bichdei achilas pras? What is the ratio of kazayis to pras? What is kazayis bichdei achilas pras? Of course, it is a machlokes. So according to Rashi, it's 1 in 6. According to Tosfos, it's 1 in 8. I think Mikadim we paskin like Tosfos. 1 in 8 would take you to 12.5%. How much dogon have you got over here? 15%. You do have a kazayis bichdei achilas pras. Is it poshut then that the brocha achreina on this is going to be a bori nefoshes and not an alamichya? Not at all. Is it possible? According to Rashi, you haven't got... This has been amazingly made. The truth is, even according to Rashi, 1 in 6, 15%, you just get there. Yes? 15, 1 in 6 is slightly more than 15%. So I think 1 in 6 is... No, slightly less than 15%. So you work out with exactly... You've got... Precisely, you land up with this. This has been absolutely purposely made to land you up in all types of brachas. In fact, we should rename this Lechem Oini, because Lechem Sheoni went on to Devarim Harabeh. So they've just made it. It lands up between Machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos, whether there's a Kazayis Bichdei Achilas Pras in here or not, whether you're going to make Alamichya, or whether you make... It's not a poshut. But I think you're still right that you make bone poshut. You tell me why. Right. You don't eat it, but you're eating it. You're still eating it.
You swallow it. First comes the chocolate.
doesn't matter. What you eat, you eat. What you eat, you eat. That's it. You know, so what, therefore, the din is, but you're not going to tell everybody they have to take it and swallow it in one go anyway, but it won't help you, won't help you, because that's what you've eaten, and therefore you've got to make the right brocha. So here the question is, what brocha achroni you make on this? So here we turn out, according to Tosafot, which is the main opinion, certainly you're going to make alamichya on this. Whereas according to Rashi, you won't. Incredible, this. But the truth of the matter is, since this wasn't baked together, I think, by the way, before you get to this, I want to tell you, how do we paskin with this? The Mishnah Berurah says the Minhag HaOlam is like Shulchan Aruch. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, Ulechatchila Tov Lizoya L'Shayer Sheyer BaKemach Shiur Kazayis. That the opinions amongst the Rishonim would say, impossible. How can you make alamichya? You haven't had a kazayis of Dagon. How can you make alamichya? And in fact, Rav Moshe writes in Shuvas, Rav Moshe writes, absolutely not. Don't land yourself up in that situation. Because the main opinion, he says, is that you can't make alamichya unless you've had a kazayis of Dagon. To have a kazayis of Dagon, you'd have to eat about, yeah, 6 or 7 of these. I think the time you've got to get up to about a kazayis, you've only got, what, 3.5 grams of kemach in this, all in all. And therefore, a good Mishnah Berurah certainly says, lechatchila tov lizoyer. Lechatchila, it's good to be careful. But you haven't got a lechatchila situation, because you've only been given one of these when you come to Ovis Abonim. So now the question is, what bracha are you going to make? But I still think that since, as we mentioned before, since this wasn't baked together, the chocolate and the... So therefore, just like we said, you're going to have two brachas. They are separate. They're not merged together as being one unit. Similarly, the same thing when it comes to the brocha achreina, the only reason why when you mix kemach of chita and kemach of doichan together and you make one unit is because you bake them together and it becomes one inextricably bound unit, and therefore it's got one brocha as such, and therefore the Chameshis Mine Dagon, albeit a minority, claims the brocha. That is only true if it's baked together and made as one unit. But where it's levels and it's not mixed together, again, by the way, even if it wasn't baked together, if this was ground up and it was just some flour mixed in, made in a whole mixture together, then you'd say that as well. But since it is separate entities, the mezonos remains on its own with very, very thick coatings of chocolate on either side. Therefore, you do not say that this constitutes one unit, just like we're saying for the brocha rishena and for the brocha achreina. The correct answer, I think, v'nis daiti, is that to make bori nefoshos only because you don't say the rule of kazayis bechde achilas pras, because it doesn't become one unit. It's just mind-boggling. Gives you an idea to show you what brocha situations you're going to come across and interesting questions that you've got when you've got something like this. One thing I will mention, and that I'll finish because my time's up, and that's it, is when it comes to although the Minhag HaOlam seems to be to make Sheher HaKol on chocolate, and definitely is that way, but if you look at the sources, many sources, as you will do, you'll see that there's much to be said for saying Borei Pri Hoetz. If you have for afters, you're served some fruit, and you make a Borei Pri Hoetz on the fruit, and then you have a piece of chocolate. So therefore, it could well be that the reason why the Minhag HaOlam of Sheher HaKol survived is because, and there's much more to be said, but I want to leave this to Rav Greenberg's son, who's going to come and give you share on it. But it could well be that Sheher HaKol, Bidi Eved, will cover Hoetz. But where if you've made Hoetz already, and there still remains a genuine Sofik, then the Sofik Brochus Lahokil goes the other way. So Lefi Ani Estaiti, I would suggest that if you're going to have chocolate after you have fruit, make Borei Pri Hoetz, have in mind to include the chocolate, and then do not make a brocha on the chocolate, because there's much to be said that the chocolate, the real brocha is Borei Pri Hoetz, and it is already covered by the fruit that you have, in which case, far better than those who have a fruit intentionally in order to get out of the brocha's problem. Dine Krauss will tell you to do that, but even if you don't go for that, but at least the Sofik brocha's lekula lahokel should say that if you've made Hoetz already, include the chocolate, and then you won't have to get involved in Suffolk box and Harker. There's just a bit of a taster to get you going on the sukkahs of chocolate.
The refreshments outside, and then the table slowly is followed by another shirt.
Oh dear. Would you like some chocolate?